Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Mountain and it's mighty high. You cannot see the top unless you fly, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All that glitters ain't gold.
That's right, baby. And the man who always wears a raspberry beret, it's Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
How are you, bro?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me come back. I realise I've been absent for the last couple of Thursdays.
Have you?
Oi.
I often wonder if you're real.
Tyler Durden of the Football Ramble.
There's a little bit of me in all of yous.
Yeah.
Some evenings.
There has been. Yeah.
Currently more than others. ahead of AC Milan's 0-0 draw at home with Carpi, They had some actors dressed in full Milan kit to perform the haka on the pitch.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was dreadful, yeah. Was obviously the New Zealand rugby dance.
It was ill thought out and poorly executed.
The New Zealand rugby dance.
That's what it is.
Reducing the haka to a New Zealand rugby dance.
For those
have
who
a
don't
bit
know
more
it.
Respect.
You know what he means, though, don't you? Wasn't it to promote a range of skincare?
Yeah.
How does the haka promote skincare?
Well, exactly, Jim, yeah.
I saw Juan Mata in an interview today saying that if... I don't know if you guys saw this.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Saying if... He said, basically, I would definitely take a pay rise if it meant there were less businesses involved in the sport that I love.
No, he said pay cut.
Pay cut.
Selfless of you.
Yeah, sorry, not believe
let,
him.
Let me be clear about that.
Yeah.
Pay cut.
It's quite Mr. Burns-like. I'd give it all for a little more. Well, it was to promote Nivea skin products, quite specifically.
Oh, you've done it now.
Yeah.
I'm shaming Nivea.
Now, you've mentioned the name, haven't you?
I don't think it was for Nivea. I think it was for Kiehl's, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. Johnny's oily slap. Slap it on.
Sex wax.
That's a very local one to you, that thing.
Johnny's oily slap.
Only available to the residents of Soho, which you are one.
In fancy
ask for Johnny.
Central London. If you could make a football team, or someone or some people in the world of football, you know the coup, everybody.
Hey,
do some kind of performance pre-match. What would you conjure up, Jim?
When Newcastle stay up this season.
Yep.
At the last home game before that, very simple. Rafa Benitez, Mike Ashley, armpit farting, fog on the tine.
Okay.
Everyone having a brilliant time. Off come the shirts,
tribute.
Crowd go along.
Yeah. What a heartwarming tribute that would be.
It would be great. I mean, both be excellent at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to see Rafa doing that.
Yeah, but Rafa would be like the sort of live one in comparison, wouldn't he?
Do you know what I'd love to see him do at the end of it, Rafa? Do what he does at the end of a game, and as he's finished his last armpit fart, just take his glasses off, put them in his top pocket.
Yeah. Do you think that would endear Ashley to the home face?
Well, that would be the point of it, wouldn't he? He'd want to show them that he's one of them and respects the local traditions.
Pete, would that mean he's one of them?
I don't think armpit farting is a big thing up in the North East. I'm fairly certain
I don't think it is anywhere.
No. Mm. I mean, they're
rugged. Got the internet.
Some of us have.
Yep.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
In Soho, it's a very slow download speed.
Is that right?
There's no houses there, so you can't get fibre optic. It's got to be all copper wires.
You are the internet.
Yeah.
That's true.
Imagine my plight, Marcus. You know how much I love the internet.
You're keeping it going, though, aren't you?
Sorry,
people plug themselves into you. Oh, we're still on?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
So if there are any broadband providers in there who want to hook me up with a free business T1 line, I'm more than interested to hear offers. Yep.
Jim's doing the old armpit.
It's actually quite hard.
Yeah, I try to do one while you guys were talking, and this I think my arms are too skinny.
This is a low.
No, it isn't, because it's an audio feature.
Yeah. Oh, I missed last week's show. What did you get up to? Armpit farting away.
It's come to this, everybody.
Yeah. To be fair, it was failed armpit farting, so does that make it better or worse?
Yeah, at least you're not stuck in the middle of the St James's Park pitch, dying.
Yeah.
While the crowd are looking, going, are you going to do one in a minute? I'm trying. Licking your hand, trying to get a bit of friction.
Resorting to doing that thing where you pull your hand underneath your jumper and doing like a pumping motion.
Yeah. Luke? I'm going to stick with something very similar in terms of cultural level to Jim's answer.
Right.
It's very recently the 400th birthday of William Shakespeare, as I'm sure you all know.
The excellent William Shakespeare.
Seriously, if you haven't heard of him, do check him out. I'd like to continue a theme. The greatest love story currently in the Premier League. Mr. Eric Dyer and Mr. Dele Alli doing a rendition of Romeo and Juliet. Although I do concede that it would be much better and more accurate if one of them played for Arsenal and one of them played for Spurs. But they both play for Spurs. I understand that, but I'm sticking with it.
Or just one on the bench. The bench is the closest you can get to a balcony.
I see what you mean, I can see that. Yeah,
they're definitely from different kind of social groups, aren't they? Because Dele Alli is quite posh and pleasant and stuff, and the other guy's a bit of a ruffian.
Yeah,
what,
true.
Eric Dyer.
Eric Dyer, he definitely had a handful of years. But Dyer would be the Romeo, for sure. Dele Alli's the Juliet.
Yeah.
A lovely Juliet.
A beautiful Juliet. Yeah.
I think he's getting more and more adorable. I'm a bit besotted by him. I'd love him to play for Newcastle just because he's adorable.
He's never going to play for Newcastle.
No. Imagine the nosedive his career would have to take.
Look at who our manager is.
Oh, he's the
from Real Madrid.
He's the genius.
From Real Madrid to Newcastle.
In a way, that's a really nasty thing to say.
If you want the best for him, if you truly loved him, you wouldn't say that.
You can imagine Jermaine Ginnis like taking it to one side. I beg of you, do as I have done.
He did it in reverse, didn't he?
Probably. I can't remember.
Yeah. Who cares? Peter, what are you gonna... I would attach to like a really ploddy team, like I don't know, late West Brom. West Brom at the moment, they were good for a little while, and now they're a bit plodding. They've reverted to type a little bit.
Yeah,
fireworks on their feet.
Ooh.
So they'd have to do the training session with like fireworks just spraying out sparks. Catherine wheels, anything?
Bangers.
Big old bangers.
That'd be terrible.
But the ones you get from France, when you used to go on holidays.
Cherry bombs.
China.
That's different level.
That's different level.
Pulis having loads of bangers and just banging them in the technical area and G them up.
Yeah.
Side-o bang.
I'll tell you something now. That last West Brom game, obviously not the Spurs game, but the game before that, I got so many tweets saying, I'm so annoyed with you pointing out the fact that all Tony Pulis does is shout Tyler, because all I can hear now. Yeah. Once you hear it, you can't unhear
it. It's like tinnitus.
It. Yeah, you
it just carries
it.
On.
Or tinnitus, as a lot of people call it.
Tinnitus. I've always called it tinnitus.
Tonyitis.
Tonyitis.
No, that one, it only comes on in the evening.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. West Brom, they were abject against Arsenal as well. It was just... What, they should have, might as well have been training cones. It was
Sido! Anyone? One of you?
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, perhaps let's raise the bar culturally.
What, above
Shakespeare and armpit?
Oh, no, you did mention Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When
West Ham play Stoke, I'd like to see Andy Carroll and Peter Crouch perform. I hope I pronounce this right. Capoeira.
Oh, yeah, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu martial art.
Correct. It's actually pronounced...
Tinnitus is a fairly common word.
Tinnitus. I've always said tinnitus.
But I don't use it enough.
But it's right.
Sorry, yeah, if I may, you guys.
Please.
Just because you've always said it, as Jim rightly points out...
Look, somebody pointed out the fact that they'd listened to a really old ramble like 4 or 5 years ago, and I once pronounced Casillas Casillas.
Yeah, I remember that. Actually, speaking of which, coming up later in the show, in the highlights of the week, I've actually got a nice blast from the past for you on that.
Oh, lovely.
Look forward to that. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
So then performing, obviously, the Brazilian martial art, which includes dance and acrobatics. But, you know, it's very leggy, because they don't make contact, do they?
Mm.
It's not actually a fight. It's a kind of a dance routine, if you like.
Because they weren't allowed a fight or something, weren't it? Didn't they get banned? And so they moved further away, and then it's officially a dance, but move a bit closer, and then it's kicking time.
Right.
It's knockout time. Mm.
Why have an ident on the BBC a few years ago with two people performing it, but Andy Carroll and Peter Crouch specifically.
Why are they doing very long limbs.
Like two ladders going around.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like two ladders kind of just missing each other in a fight.
Two tripods.
Yeah, what also they performed it on ladders?
Now you're talking. Sort of a Jackie Chan element.
Mm.
Yeah. Wonderful. I think Luke's got the points.
Well, let's give the points to Billy Shakes.
To Billy Shakes.
The excellent bardster.
Yeah. Certainly my favourite bard. And I know, Jim, your favourite bard as well. So.
I've got a bard on for that guy.
Yeah. Mine is Baden-Baden in Switzerland.
Mine's Baden-Powell.
Come on, guys. Just do better answers. It's not bard.
Oh, dearie me. One man who's in the final of the FA Cup is Alan Bardew, of course.
Even I'm finding it very hard to get upset about Alan Pardew getting Crystal Palace to the final.
Yeah. The reason I'm happy about it is because for the first time in ages I can do this to Pete. Don't it all seem to go, but you don't know what you got to do.
Yeah. Although I predicted Manchester United and Watford to go through. Mm. So Pardew again has, I say again because he must have done it before, got in the way of charity.
Yes, he has.
You know.
But it's actually, you know what? This result is making the season make a bit more sense because he's just looking at knockout football now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just looking at tournament football.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe progressed beyond league football.
Well, you have to
qualify. England job will be gaping.
You have to qualify.
Yeah, that won't be a problem.
I am 100% certain that since the final whistle went in that game between Crystal Palace and Watford, Pardew has spent every waking moment since thinking about the suit he's going to wear.
Yeah.
For the big day. He's getting the teeth whitened.
Yeah.
He's going to do about 100. He's probably going to do, I reckon he's probably going to do 200 press-ups before he walks out the tunnel.
Yeah.
Just to pump the guns up a little bit.
Yeah. He's exactly the sort of man who shadow boxes in the mirror in the morning.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I'm going to take today and chin it.
But Alan Pardew, Alan Pardew brushes his teeth with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah,
just feels how much he loves it, how much he loves feeling it.
Big flosser.
Yeah. Oh,
aggressive flosser.
Massive flosser.
Not there's anything wrong with flossing.
I
went to the dentist recently. I'm not flossing enough.
Oh, I floss every day.
No one is.
No, I do, actually. I'll stop you there. I am flossing enough.
Well, that's good. But,
right. Not as much as parts.
Dentists tell that to everyone, don't they?
I've got no fillings because of the strong fluoride content in Hartlepool water. And I'm 30-odd, so...
Is that because you can't get a dentist in Soho?
Yeah, Pard is there. But what I love about what Pard said after the game, because obviously they got Manchester United in the final, Pard said something... He said he was pleased to get Manchester United in the final. He said something along the lines... I couldn't find this anywhere, but I heard him say, and forgive me if this is quite wrong, but he talked about, obviously, Louis van Gaal having a bad time, the press have given him a bad time. And he said, you know, you guys have given him a bad time. And then he mentioned something about Alex Ferguson. His career hinged on the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Was it Mark Robbins who got that famous goal? Well, now famous.
Was it Lee Martin scored it in the final, didn't he? Against Palace.
Yeah, but he, I think...
Oh, the Robbins goal to actually keep him his job.
Yeah, so he sort of said his career hinged on the FA Cup when they got through. And he said it could be the same for Van Gaal. I'm pretty sure he said that.
Yeah, he did say that.
Okay, if that's wrong, I apologise.
So he's basically predicting that if United under Van Gaal win the FA Cup next month, it's going to start a 25-year tenure for the already in his late 60s manager.
Yeah, who's won the Champions League. his influence on European football has been stunning.
I thought the quote was going to end with him, it being a turning point for him getting his team to the final or possibly winning it. I mean,
but in 20
forgetting
years,
that he's been a manager of the Premier League for quite a while.
I know. I love that Van Gaal's hit career could hinge on this. I mean, in 20 years' time, people will talk about Van Gaal like people talk about maybe even like Johan Cruyff and his influence at Barcelona and stuff. You know, he's such an important manager in the recent development of the game. But
Pardew also said he gets a lot of stick, but I love the guy. I tell you, this is the sequel to they've played their part.
Yeah, it is. But Jim, I love the fact that it's Pardew who holds the keys to whether Van Gaal has a good career.
Nobody asked him that question. Nobody asked him that question.
Hey, but Pardew still said, I'm pleased for Louis van Gaal that he's got there.
Yeah. I'm pleased for Louis that he's got there.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's fantastic. What was Pardew's celebration like in one of the goals?
Not really a fist pump.
But it was I knew that was going to happen, and now I've been proven right. That's what the celebration said to me. And then he also, another thing I wanted to point out before we forget and actually probably talk about the football, which for me will be a shame. he also legged it down the tunnel as soon as the final whistle
went. He did, yeah.
I'm not sure why he did that.
He wanted to prepare his monologue on Louis van Gaal.
Yeah. But normally, I would expect him to be the type who would be going to the Palace End and like, conducting the crowd and all that other stuff.
Save it for the big day.
Yeah.
Get to Crystals immediately.
Yeah. He's got a car waiting. Yeah. We've got a table booked at the Groucho. Come on.
When all said and done, Pardew has ushered Palace into the FA Cup final.
Yes.
And for a guy who used to play there, of course, we all know about that. We've seen enough clips of him playing in the Palace kit in the latter stages of the FA Cup.
75% of us never doubted this.
Well, I obviously said that Watford would get through. Well, hang on, Pete wasn't there.
I reckon I probably would have fallen into line to
immediately you're down to 66.
The podcast in general regards Alan.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the charity bet, which I said Watford would go through.
No, don't bring that up.
Oh, sorry. I'm stitching myself up here. Yeah.
How many times have I told you we talk about it when we win? And no other time.
But, sorry.
And also, Pete wasn't present on the bet of the week vote, so he obviously abstains, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
So it's ultimately your fault anyway.
Sorry about that. Well, Pardew's fault.
Yeah.
So
Pardew's going to Pardew.
But they look good, Palace. They look better than Watford for most of it. Yeah,
Bolasie is the key to that team, though, to be fair. He is something else.
He went in, didn't he, with that header?
He looks like he's coming into a bit of form. He had a bit of a barren patch, and now he's coming into a bit of form, which is ideal for them, given that they're not technically safe in the Premier League yet.
No,
they're
not.
And they've got a cup final coming up.
But it's a good result for Newcastle, who play Palace, of course, because they've got one eye on the cup final, although they are obviously not safe yet. They need points. But
it's very unrealistic they'll be relegated.
Yeah, it would be quite interesting.
It would be brilliant.
It would be breathtaking.
Yeah. Pete, you sent us all a message saying, I'm really pleased for Palace, despite the obvious.
Yeah, I am. A great club and a club with an incredible history. Why am I doing a monologue? I think Van Gaal's great that he's there. I'm just happy that... But in spite of my... And I do like that club, and I still like that club, but I just think that they could do better with their managerial choices. But then they're in a cup final,
true.
So enjoy, guys.
The man who supports us on tour, Doc Brown, he's a Palace fan. We're pleased for him. The Chico Santana of the football
round. I'm also going to go off piece a little bit here and say I think I'm right in saying that Palace have never won a trophy.
I don't think Watford have.
I think Palace have only
major trophy.
They've only been to one final, and it was that 1990. So yeah, it's big. It's an absolutely massive day for them.
They've actually been to two finals, if you think.
Because the replay. Yeah, true. I don't think that counts. But,
Sanchez Flores again. There's a lot of talk of him being under pressure. So he's comfortably kept Watford in the Premier League and got them to an FA Cup semi final. And apparently that's not good enough.
But we mentioned this like last week, and I was only playing devil's advocate. I don't think I fully believe this myself, but in the interest of balance, I think their record in the Premier League is like 3 wins in 17. They're in a terrible run.
Of course, yeah. If you were to look at recent form, it might be a little bit worrying. But you know, the Premier League is a long, difficult season. You're going to have those slumps,
especially for
a promoted club. But Gino Pozzo, who's you know, one of the big dogs at Watford, looked absolutely furious. even at 1-0 on at the weekend, and you think actually, yeah. I mean, judging by that mug. There's some truth to this.
Are people worried about Kike Sanchez-Flores' career just simply because they do pull a trigger a lot?
Well, yeah, that's their model. They turn over managers very quickly, and it works for them. Yeah.
Oddly, the attempts, interim. But yeah, I mean, it was good to see Deeney score because he has a great season.
Fantastic, yeah.
And he really is. The way he hangs in the air when he wins those headers. I mean, maybe teams have found them out after a while. I mean, Igalo's obviously not playing as well as he was.
I thought Pantilimon let him down a bit. I think the first goal, I don't know what Pantilimon was doing. He's about 6'50". You come out and get that ball. And the second goal, I know it was right on the corner of the header from Wickham. It was a nice header, and I won't want to take anything away from him because it was a great goal.
And it was good for Wickham as well.
But Pantilimon went down very slowly. I think Gomez probably saves that.
Is Pantilimon everyone's reserve goalkeeper? Blink and he's somewhere else.
I know. He was.
Wait, it's him and Richard Wright.
Yeah. Richard Wright's old now.
No, I know, but it was for a while.
I think Givens kind of turning over the clubs. I was like, I forgot he was where he is now.
Yeah, he was in 40 and playing in the Premier League.
Givens the sort of player who's had such a career that when they did a pre-match handshake, he has to have like a little couple of minutes and a hug with every single player because he's played with everyone.
That's right. Alpegi Alpexad, who's definitely not been in a porn film.
He was another one.
He was everybody's subkeeper for a bit.
Yeah.
He played like 15 games.
Yeah, I know.
His whole career was like that, glorious.
Notably Liverpool and Leicester, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, that was great. So Palace are there. I mean, that moment when Zahar, you know, he obviously marauded down.
He played well.
Yeah, he did. And his two touches were fantastic. And it was sort of reminiscent of, you know, Ian Wright when he came on and roasted that Man United team and slotted home. Yeah.
Martin Kieran piped up about that on the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about this Crystal Palace thing and saying that about what you're referencing there, with Ian Wright come off the bench.
To get in the final against Manchester United, yeah.
No, but I mean, didn't he come off the bench in the semi as well?
Oh, he might well have, but I'm referencing. He scored a couple of goals in the final.
Okay, I just want to have a dig at Martin Kieran real quick.
Yeah, fine.
He basically said, oh, yeah, and then when Ian Wright scored with a broken leg, it's like, he didn't have a broken leg, did he?
I heard that, and I thought he had a broken leg,
and then he recovered from the injury, which is fairly common among professional athletes, and then scored. It's not the same thing.
Do I have to explain Bournes to you?
Yeah.
It's like saying he scored the goal as a baby, because he was once a baby.
Yeah.
He scored the goal as a non-professional footballer.
He scored the goal in the middle of his Sunday dinner. Probably the Sunday dinner the week before.
Yeah, that's right. It was a shame, actually, it wasn't a shame, it was a great bit of defending, but if he'd have scored that would have been some goal, because the touches he took was superb. Mm-hmm. It was like Gareth Bale, you know, the way he knocks it out and ran.
You get the feeling now that his career's starting to get properly back up and running again. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Because he was obviously very unlucky with the Man United thing.
Yeah, he was indeed. But talking of Manchester United, they were involved in a lovely old slugfest against Everton.
One of the games of the season.
It was super. I mean, the second half, that's what I thought actually was going to happen with Palace and Watford. But it happened in the first game. It did turn into a real old back and forth in that second half. And it was that little defensive mix-up with Jagielka, that just second. And Martial, absolutely fantastic. You know, that's when you've got a player who sees that, straight onto it, bang, and that's it, tie over.
Yeah. And he's still so young as well. It's like that doesn't always come together so quickly.
Differing afternoon to Lukaku, wasn't it?
I watched pretty much all of it back. I watched it live and then I had to watch it back and I was like, I don't know how Lukaku has ever scored any goal before because some of his decisions, good God.
But his touches though, we talked about Zaha's touches there and obviously Martial as well, when he jinked it and obviously it came through. But Lukaku, the touches
he must have fashioned himself probably five or six, if including the penalty which he missed, five or six like decent quality chances.
And it's a shame because he's misrepresented himself,
yeah,
because
yeah.
he is a much better player.
It's a worrying thing for him at his age, isn't it? Because you know we've said ourselves this season he looks like he's ready to kick on and become a top level striker, but the occasion really looked like it got to him there. And his penalty actually, it's a great save. Yeah, it was because it wasn't exactly in the corner and that allowed De Gea to get to it, but it had real pace on it, and that was one of the best saves of the season.
The thing I'd hear is he's so stringy and long. Yeah, I mean, if you don't put it right in the corner, the keeper's going to have a chance to save it because he's so big.
Properly spring-heeled, isn't he?
I started to sort of reassess my opinion of Van Gaal after that game.
Have you?
Well, just because we do it, obviously, as you guys know. But
do you think he's a quiet, controlled chap?
Say again?
Do you think he's a quiet and controlled chap?
Who, Van Gaal? Yeah, no. I don't mean his personality.
Oh, okay,
right. I mean his Man United tenure.
Okay.
I should have made that clear. We'll do a column weekly for the New Day, national newspaper now. Get us. And I did one about Van Gaal. It's coming out on tomorrow. It's Tuesday. And I was essentially, because a couple of weeks ago we talked a bit about Van Gaal and we were quite critical of him.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, it's hard to make excuses for him. When I actually looked at the situation, I thought in a post-Ferguson world, he's not really done that badly. I mean, if you take into account that, I mean, it's a big assumption, but they'll be favourites to win the cup final. And if they win the FA Cup, that'll be the first FA Cup they've won 12 years, Man United, which is a long time to go for a club of that size. Secondly, they've got the second best defence in the Premier League, and 16 of their 33 players they've used this season have been 23 or younger.
Yeah.
And they've spent a lot of money on those young players, though.
Not all of them. Yeah. They've spent a lot of money, of course. I understand that. But they spent a lot. But all the big clubs spent a lot of money. I think that's probably a little
unfair.
Well,
that's just normal now, isn't it? That's just. Yeah. I mean, true, though, but they've scored the same amount of goals as Bournemouth.
Right.
You know, they're fifth in the league. My final point was going to be that
there aren't really that many teams in the Premier League this season who've played consistently really good football. A free scoring football. There's been a few, but there haven't been that many.
True, but a lot of people, I mean, have scored a lot more goals than them. I mean, you have to go down to Stoke City in 10th. You know, they're the lowest scorers in the top nine. And they still can qualify for Champions League. And the way Arsenal are going, you wouldn't bet against them nicking fourth. But they still may miss out on Champions League. I take the point,
If they deliver fourth and the FA Cup...
Yeah.
And in a post-Ferguson world, because everyone, all they talk about is, oh yeah, but under Ferguson this and under Ferguson that. So what?
Yeah.
There is not going to be now. Wenger is the last of the long-term managers. If you look at all the other big managers and all the other big clubs, they don't have managers there for very long. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Chelsea don't have managers there for long. Guardiola doesn't stay anywhere very long. Mourinho doesn't stay anywhere very long. It never happens. So why would we continually reference this Ferguson era, which has actually got no relevance at all to Man United in 2016?
I do know what you mean.
I'm not suggesting the football's been amazing, by the way. I'm just saying it's been functional, and so maybe that's what they need. Maybe that's what they need is a platform to get them back to where they need to be before they can kick
off.
Do you not think that the people who are spending the money on Van Gaal's behalf... Whether, you know, there's been a lot of talk about he doesn't get to choose all of the players and stuff like that, and sometimes he gets players foisted upon him. Do you think they're going to be a little bit more annoyed at the way he's treated those players or the way he's played those players? The amount of money they spent on, like, Di Maria and stuff like that, like, over the past couple of seasons, is a grotesque amount of money and more than anyone else has spent.
But it's
a big amount.
So you've got to look at the whole picture. They've spent an awful lot of
money. They've invested a lot in him.
Let me put it another way. Listen to his funny voice.
Yeah, that's true.
and he's got a funny voice.
But that's the personality
side.
Yeah. But they've spent an awful lot of money. And Manchester City have had, they've lost 9 games this season. They've not been doing too well. Obviously, Spurs have been great and Leicester have been great. Arsenal have had their same old season. Manchester United is still in fifth. You know, Liverpool haven't been too great. Chelsea have been poor. I understand the point you mean, but ultimately, they have never, ever been anywhere near getting in the top 10. Yeah.
Also, no, that's fine. Sorry, Jim, go on.
Well, one thing that we've touched on before, I think off mic, that's interesting is that Van Gaal was only ever going to stay for 3 years.
Yeah.
Even if he stays to the end of his contract, it's only going to be for another year. And it was only ever the plan for him to be there for 3 years and then retire. So, like, there's not really been any long-term planning. And the amount of money they've thrown at signings like Di Maria and stuff like that, it is a very bizarre way to work. But to sort of kind of back up what you're saying, Luke, with the emergence of players like Rashford and Fosu Mensah, even if that is by luck rather than anything, that actually starts to bring through a new generation.
Yeah, it does.
And that is exactly what they need because, you know,
Lingard
they are going to...
Well.
Yeah, Lingard as well. They are, you know, of course they're not going to immediately emulate Ferguson. That's ridiculous. It's just other than Bob Paisley, it's probably never happened anywhere. Mm. So, it's not brilliant, but it could be worse.
Yeah, I think it could be worse. And I think if you'd look back on Van Gaal's tenure in 5 years' time, of course, there's still a few ifs and buts there because he's still there, and say, well, you know what? For the lion's share of the time he was there, he kept him in the Champions League, he won the FA Cup, and he brought quite a lot of young players through. That's what Man United do, isn't it? Fine, the football hasn't been great, but they're not playing under Ferguson anymore.
True.
And I've just pointed out, I think fairly successfully, that other than a couple of teams, not that many teams in the Premier League play consistently brilliant football. So what?
But their Champions League campaign again was disappointing. I mean, you can easily chuck in a lot of negatives as well as those positives, and that's it's a mixed bag. And it'll be interesting to see what the fans think. If they do, I mean, if they do finish fourth, they get an FA Cup. Will he be around next year? See what he does. But
obviously, we don't want to talk about this all night. But just the negatives you're pointing out and you keep referencing. I understand that, but that is that's nothing more than being indicative of a transitional period which they're in.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
There we are.
Jim, are you wearing a necklace?
Yeah.
Do you always wear a necklace?
Wow.
Yeah, my fiance makes jewellery.
More on Jim's necklace after this. Heads up, it's the Ramblers. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Do we have any more on Jim's necklace?
No.
She also makes engagement rings, so that was a bit of pressure. Pick your own one, love.
Yeah.
You could probably do that. Just take care of you. I mean, I'll give it to you, but you might as well just take care of it.
That's right.
Nice.
I'll give you £20. Let's talk about the Premier League, because we've talked a lot about the FA Cup there. Riyad Mahrez, Player of the Year, PFA Player of the Year. Of course.
Yep.
Of course, surely.
Scenes.
This is where I get into the usual yearly thing where I bore on about how I don't really like individual awards in football, isn't it?
True, but they do give them it.
Look at what last year, for example.
Yeah, right.
What I like about this one, though, is Mahrez, he's got 17 goals, 11 assists, so I think that, you know, despite Vardy breaking that record and, you know, scoring so many goals that have won points and stuff like that, I think Mahrez is the right choice. But because it's a Leicester player, it feels like it's for all of them.
And that's the closest you're going to get to a team award.
Vardy got his little plate, didn't he? See that plate? Yeah. It's dreadful.
It's like a sort of commemorative dinner plate.
It looks like the sort of things they dished out when Princess Diana died.
I was about to say, was it like a Diana and Charles?
Have you seen it?
No.
It's like a kiln-fired, like, china clay plate with the club crests of all the teams he scored against in that 11 game.
Oh, I didn't realise it was that. I didn't look that close.
It looks terrible.
He will definitely eat off that.
Yeah, he will.
Definitely. That's straight in the cupboard.
It looks like it's been bought from like a covered market.
Well, especially because Aston Villa are going to change their logo next season, so
right,
it's going to be out of date instantly.
Yeah.
Idiots.
But let me just back up my point about individual awards in football, which is a nonsense. I'll tell you why. There's a good example this year.
Hand out top scorer.
Morgan got on the team.
He did.
Huth didn't. What is the point of taking Morgan out of that defence, which has essentially played brilliantly as a unit all season?
But you've got to have Alderweireld in there.
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
back
that
three.
It's silly. It's just silly, isn't it?
Well, but you're talking about the team of the year, rather.
Spurs are making that young player of the year award their own.
They are.
Yeah. Bale, Walker, Dele Alli. Who's the other one that's won it? Four out of for the last 5 years. Harry Kane, of course. Yeah. Making their own. Would that be a consolation to not winning the title? Just
well, it's still open.
Yeah.
It's less open at this very moment because the final whistle has just gone in the Spurs West Brom match.
It
finished 1-1.
It finished 1-1.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I've just had a look.
Yeah. I've just
Tony
had a look.
Pulis.
Yeah.
Breaker of worlds. What's that? Can they still win the league? Oh, we'll see about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm coming into that metaphorical house party and pulling all the alcohol down the sink. Thank you very much. And if you carry on, I'm going to call the police into the bargain.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just want that plate.
Sido. That'll do.
Yeah.
Sido. Well done.
Sido, turn that music down.
Yeah. You want to go at the Premier League champions, do you?
Yeah.
Well. Get linked with Leicester then.
Yeah.
So young player Dele Alli, team of the year. Four from Leicester, four from Spurs, one from Manchester United. One from Arsenal, Jim, is that a consolation?
Yeah.
And then one from West Ham.
I'm amazed that Sergio Aguero is not in this conversation, injuries or not. It seems sort of ridiculous that he's overlooked.
Players I think they consider themselves hard done by are probably Robert Huth, just as part of that.
Ozil, maybe?
Because he trailed off so badly.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the thing with Ozil, he's still actually been making a hell of a lot of chances. It's just the clowns around him.
And Milner has dwarfed him. The reverse, whatever it is. Milner's a dwarf.
I actually think Hugo Lloris can be quite hard done by.
Yeah. And Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Kasper. Let's have the Leicester 11.
De Gea?
He's in there.
Sorry.
How many times do you want him in there?
Put him in again.
Casillas was in there.
Pete, who's your goalkeeper? De Gea. Who's your left back? De Gea. Who's your right? De Gea. I think De Gea should
number
be
number one. David De Gea. Yeah.
Number seven is Brian Robson. Always.
Yeah. Which number was Mark Hughes? 10.
I think so, yeah.
I think he's in there. He's in there. Leicester, they did beat Swansea City 4-0.
Oh, hang on. Before you move on, this is important. Oh. Was number seven Brian Robson or was it Eric Cantona?
That's Brian. Yeah.
Robson was seven, wasn't he?
Seven.
Yeah, no. It's Robson and Hughes because the song is about. Who's the song about? George Best?
Yeah.
I think it's seven as Brian Robson okay. and
Man United fans, get in touch and how wrong we are on that.
Oh, they're going to be furious. Yeah, they've got such a big fan base. Yeah. Oh,
I think that's
God
right.
is seven.
They've got such a big fan
Deadly
base.
Six, God is seven. Is that right? Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. No, anyway, not to worry. We're talking about this season. The Spurs have dropped points. I mean, can you Adam and Eve it? Leicester are on, boys and girls. They are flipping on. They beat Swansea 4-0. Good win for the boys. Is Joe coming in?
Yeah. I thought,
on the score sheet. He's really done well this season.
I think it's tempting for people just to say, oh, Swansea are this and Swansea are that. But Swansea have had a good, decent result or two fairly recently. And it's only fair to point out that when Spurs went to Stoke and battered them 4-0, everyone was raving about it. Best away performance this, best away performance that. Stoke have been dreadful for a while now. And Leicester, they're a very professional, efficient, impressive job against Swansea with some key players missing. Yeah. They deserve a lot of credit for that because they worked incredibly hard. And that's it looks like now, in the context of this draw that Spurs have just got at home to West Brom, that that's won them the championship.
Seven clear.
Won the title.
So, Ashley Williams got a lot of criticism for the first goal, which we had Mara scored.
Little gift wrap one for him. Get yourself up and running.
But you know what? People have said that, but that only came about because of the hard work of Mara in closing down those angles.
Absolutely.
And then he still has a lot to do. Gave the keeper the eyes, which is always lovely
Love
to
that.
See.
It'd be fast. It always reminds me of Wayne Rooney in Euro 2004, that. When he came in on goal and gave the keeper the eyes. Who was it against? The first goal he scored?
It's Croatia,
from,
maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
I think it was maybe the Croatia one.
Yeah, okay. But you're right, and it'd be fascinating to know how many goals Leicester have scored this season, which could be attributed to them closing down and working those channels, doing their doggies.
Yeah, but the composure that Mara showed was quite delightful, really.
At their best, they make that pitch look so big.
Yeah.
It's actually weird. Maybe it's all the triangles. I think the mystic triangles.
Well, at the start of the season, people talked about Leicester's work rate more than they do now. Now, teams are a little bit more frightened of them, and they sit off a little bit more, so they've got a bit more room to attack, and they're happy to do so.
I'll be surprised if there's any team that's worked harder than them this season, that's run further than them, that's done more sprints than them, all that sort of stuff. Mm. They really have earned their way to the title. They're going to win it now when there's 7 points clear with 3 games left.
And Ranieri,
it's unthinkable for them to not win it.
Yeah.
But if they do, it'll be through hard work.
And Ranieri's not one for, like, you wouldn't call him a disciplinarian necessarily, would you? But it seems to be that he's...
Well, certainly not. No.
Did you see Vardy's face at the PFA Awards? Tell you what, there's no discipline going on there. He was having a lovely time with Stormzy.
My dad made a really good point, though. He looks like Mr. Punch. I've not noticed it before.
He doesn't get,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you take Ujoa coming in, like he's done so well. Like, it's a squad game, and obviously Vardy's been their main man. But for Ujoa, whenever he's come in, not every time he's come in, of course, but he has scored crucial goals. But as well, knowing that you're not the first choice striker when perhaps you could be at another club, but to keep that enthusiasm, to keep that energy and that level of performance when he comes in is so vital to this.
Well, I wonder if he would actually just effortlessly slot in and be as effective as he was, because if you remember at the beginning of last season, Leicester actually started quite brightly and Ujoa scored quite a few goals and he looked like he was just tailor-made for the Premier League. Then he sort of tailed off again a little bit, and towards the run at the end when they started putting wins together and stayed up, he was really good again. And it's kind of been a bit like this again this season. He had another good run at the beginning, and now at the tail end of it he's back in the team scoring goals. It's weird. It's like he just likes the warmth.
He's another effectively a championship player who's now a massively Premier League player. I mean, and Mahrez is the perfect example of that.
I remember when he was in the championship.
If you remember when Leicester signed Ujoa on this show, I think I said it.
They signed him when they went up, didn't they? From Brighton, I think.
Yeah, they signed him from Brighton, yeah. I'll stick with what I said then now. His game is tailor-made for the Premier League.
Yeah.
He's big and strong. He causes teams a lot of problems in the air. And if you've got players like Leicester have that can put crosses in and can cause problems in the box, Ujoa is your man. He really is. He'll bully defences. And Jim's absolutely right in his assessment. He's been patchy. But he's a great player to have as your squad.
Yeah.
He's so strong and so hard-working as well.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out as well, though, when his goals have dried up, that doesn't mean he's not really contributed, does it? Because,
as you
say, he works really, really hard. Yeah. He holds the ball up very well.
Yeah.
Look at Danny Welbeck.
Yeah.
Look at Welbs as an example.
Still not being picked for Arsenal. Not starting games, is he?
No, I think that's more to get his fitness together rather than because of the blistering form of those in his way.
I just remember doing the old usual where I try and put, because I'm obviously a fan of a club with absolutely no interest at all in the Premier League, and they won't have for some time. I always think to myself, if I was a fan of that club, would I be annoyed by that? And Danny Welbeck not starting would have been something that would have annoyed me.
Yeah, true. Liverpool 2, Newcastle United 2, a glimmer of hope.
The army charts are on.
It's another point. I mean, okay, Sunderland and Norwich do have a game in hand on Newcastle.
No, thanks to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Bloody Arsenal.
I know, eh?
Let you down.
Sunderland are out of the drop zone. Norwich are down there. But Newcastle, they're 1 point behind both those sides. Obviously, Sunderland and Norwich do have a game in hand. But if you look at the fit, well, I mean, Arsenal, from a Newcastle fan point of view, Arsenal were meant to play their part there, and of course they didn't. But Newcastle, they do have games against Crystal Palace at home and then Aston Villa away. If, and they probably should win those two games. It'd be very interesting, although Sunderland are picking up points here and there, but really they've got to win those two games, and if they do, they've got a chance. Yeah.
I think the points Newcastle are getting are way more impressive, though.
Yeah, they are.
City and Liverpool.
But I mean, but it
they
just
went behind in both those games, Pete.
Yeah, that's the first time I think they've come
away from.
That's
Liverpool.
The first time they've come down, come from behind by two goals since 2014. I think it is. Right. That's the first time they've.
They came from behind against City as well, but only one goal, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I said at the time. I think Sunderland will probably climb out of it, but I'm surprised at the fist that Newcastle are making of it. They just look a bit more organised under the new manager.
We're up for the fight.
But yeah, it just says that they should have got rid of the last manager a lot quicker. You know, they had that international break, I think, and everyone went away. I think we went to Dubai or Spain or somewhere like that, and they could have had a new manager in if he wanted it. He could have had the same manager in and getting performances out of them a lot sooner. They wouldn't be in this mess that they are. I think I said that Sunderland were going to climb out, but I still think Newcastle are going to go down more gallantly than I realised.
Well, like I say, they're against
Sissoko eye in that transfer window.
Like I say, they've got Palace and Aston Villa next, then Spurs on the last day, so you'd imagine that they really have to get points in those two games. You know, you look at Norwich, they're against Arsenal next. Now, Arsenal covering themselves in glory, but they should flipping well win that game. And then they're against Manchester United in their next two. Sunderland away to Stoke are a little bit of a mixed bag at the moment. Obviously, Spurs hammered them, but Hughes said recently
it's not a mixed bag.
No,
it's
true.
It's a very consistent bag of shit.
Are they not chasing? I think they might be chasing their own records points tally.
Yeah, but they've conceded four in the last three games.
They turned it in, haven't they?
Well, true.
Not interested in that.
And then Sunderland play Chelsea. So the next two games, I mean, it never pans out like one predicts, but the next two games, Newcastle could have 6 points. The others, you know, maybe one or three.
Mm.
And suddenly all changes.
I know Pete's not going to thank me for saying this, and he also won't agree, but I think Newcastle have got a real chance. I'm saying this for a few weeks now. I still think it. And I think what Rafa Benitez has done is very clever. He's obviously gone in there and he said, look, I'm only staying here if we stay in the Premier League. And if I stay and we stay in the Premier League, we can do great things here.
Absolutely.
And those players agree with him, because those players have seen him win the Champions League. They've seen him manage big clubs as well. Yeah. And they believe in him. They, you can tell by how hard they work, they believe in him. You can tell by watching
The thing that really stands in their way, and I'm sorry, Norwich fans, but I think it is Sunderland. You know, away to Stoke, home to Chelsea, home to Everton, and away to Watford. You would fancy Sunderland to get at least a handful of points.
Pete's point is an absolutely salient one, which is that they should have moved for Benitez earlier then. Because if they give him enough time, they wouldn't be in that trouble.
Yeah.
They don't look like... At this point now, in the performances you've seen of different clubs, and I know it's difficult because certain teams have got nothing to play for, but on the whole, you wouldn't say that Newcastle are a relegation doomed team. You said they're probably lower mid-table.
But that second half performance was... It's just like a different team, wasn't it?
Liverpool would...
Fluff must have been frustrating.
Yeah, but I mean, he has got that in him. I think whenever Cesar's got more than 2 seconds to think about something, he'll miss.
Yeah.
I think we've compared him to Andy Cole before. I think he's
weird,
very similar.
It's like he forgets how to use his legs temporarily.
Mm. But he made like a really bad miss in the match before, I think it was, or maybe 2 matches before.
And he did. I remember it does happen.
Yeah, point-blank range. All he needed to do was tap it in and he just didn't manage it. But again, he was a very good striker, and he did, I think a season being played up top by himself as a target man just ruined him. He just doesn't know how to play football anymore. Yeah.
But a new manager can do wonders for a player's confidence. Mm. Players, and if he's asked to play a slightly different role and he's got the ability, and we know he has because we've seen him before, you never know what could happen. But I just think the only thing that sort of makes me wonder about me saying, oh, Newcastle could do it, is that they might just run out of time, I think. Yeah. Run out of game.
One more match and I would have a completely different outlook on things, and if it wasn't against, and if we didn't have it's Manchester Spurs. United and Spurs, isn't it?
So,
not Manchester United, Spurs.
You've got Palace, Villa and Spurs.
I understand your reticence to believe in your team, right? when they just let you down over and over again. Yeah. We're about to come on to.
Well, Jim, we'll turn our attention to your team. I mean, a clean sheet away from home is always pleasing. and Arsenal have kindly stood aside for Manchester City to go into third, where Arsenal slot into their traditional fourth. But
say London is a route.
Anyway, after you.
Spurs have let Leicester win the league, and Arsenal are letting Manchester City go in there.
Yeah.
I mean, can they cling on to that fourth spot? I mean, for crying out loud.
I'm starting to worry about it. It's like having a rubbish dad who every year finds a way to let you down on your birthday.
Yeah.
Honestly, you just look at it and think, oh, God.
A lot of pathos on that point there.
Did you find consolation that Jack Wilshere came back?
Well, I'll take what I can, to be honest. Yeah. Wenger said after the game that it's, you know, it's difficult to play against teams who are fighting for something. It's like, your team are fighting for something. Tell them that. You need to be fighting for something.
It's difficult to play against a team when, you've eaten a big handful of Valium, isn't it? Jiminy cricket.
I know, eh? It really does beg his belief, but there we are. Let's move on to the Football League.
Although you didn't mention the fact that Arsenal now literally can't win the league.
That's over. It's
official now.
This year or next, I'd probably wager.
Okay.
Generally, I'm a little cautious about Arsenal's chances. I was quite optimistic at the earlier this season. Quite bullish about Tottenham. We were laughing a lot about them finishing fifth. And the combination of those things really makes it feel like all of this is my fault. It's a strange thing how football can do that.
You also heavily went on the offensive ahead of the Barcelona game as well.
Well, you know, time will tell when we get them next season. Smash them.
Yeah.
Best laid plans.
But you're playing a long game there.
Yeah. You'd be pleased that Spurs drop points at home to West Brom.
My only fear is that Arsenal may well not get an opportunity to play Barcelona next year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You wonder what you've got till it's gone.
Yeah,
Barcelona. You'll be crying out for a 5-0 aggregate defeat to Barcelona next year.
At least you'll be able to get your song back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
An Arsenal slump is Europa League. A Barcelona slump is letting other teams believe they can also win the league.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll come on to that in just a min or two. Football League time. MK Dons are relegated from the Championship. Charlton already down two. The more protests during the match. I mean, if you're a Charlton owner, would you not just sort of think to yourself, yeah, I should be getting off soon?
I think the problem with that is I think he might be a bit of a dickhead.
Well, this is it, isn't it? Yeah, I think people are overlooking the fact that the man might just be evil and enjoying all of this. That protest was spectacular, wasn't it? Never seen anything like it.
They've had some good ones.
I don't want to trivialise it because it's a very important point. I think we've covered it fairly extensively on here. But I do sort of marvel at the execution of the stunt. Because the amount of,
that's what I mean, yeah.
The amount of sort of contraband they managed to get into the stadium is very, very impressive.
Yeah, it's troubling for the authorities, I think, isn't it? Really?
Even if they're kind of blow-up balls, I think they had a beach ball one. I'm not sure.
They had loads of them, but they actually looked pretty well made.
But think about it, though, Jim. You obviously, they're deflated, so you can get them in fairly easily. But then when it's like, right, boys, let's blow them up now. Mm. Surely you would see everybody...
especially with the London smog.
Yeah, people would be knackered. Yeah.
But there were stewards going around having to just stab them because they kept getting thrown back.
Pop them.
I would be very surprised if students weren't issued with some kind of box cutter to do this, because there's been a couple of inflatable protests, haven't there?
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed they
bouncy
get the
castle, guys, next time.
Fingers crossed they get the result they want, of course.
Of course. Yeah. At the top of the Championship, my goodness.
Every year.
It's class.
Best league in Europe.
Absolutely right, mate.
Well, you're saying that ahead of Newcastle next season.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, actually, looking forward. I wanted to be in that league,
guys. What did we get last time? 102 points? Yeah. Easy.
In the Championship League.
They're not still waiting for you when you go back down there.
Peter Love and Kranz are getting back. Lovely.
Damn right. The top three all joined on 87 points. With goal differences of 30, 32 and 33.
That's
glorious.
Amazing.
And Middlesbrough and Brighton play each other in the last day.
And also Middlesbrough, they're not scoring so much, and Brighton are now scoring freely, which has sort of flipped around a little bit. Not flipped around a little bit, but both were struggling to score, and now Brighton have picked it up a little bit.
You'd expect Burnley to get one of those automatic places, home to QPR and away to Charlton. QPR down in 13th, and obviously the other two play each other.
I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but Brighton have done so well to pick themselves back up again.
Yeah, I think last week you said this, and you're right.
They started off so strongly,
Hull and Derby will probably be in the... I think they are in the playoffs, probably with Sheffield Wednesday. This was a funny one. We mentioned old Harry Redknapp, obviously, at Derby, you know, in spirit at least, if he turns up. I don't know. Derby midfielder George Thorne said that seven of the players in the Derby squad were involved in the playoff final, lost to Redknapp's QPR, of course.
And dramatic circumstances.
Yeah,
as well.
Bobby Zamora getting that last-minute goal when they were down to 10 men, I think. And he said those players still find it difficult to talk about that day. And Thorne, speaking about Redknapp, remarks, he said to me that he thought I played well at Wembley that day, but I didn't want to continue the conversation.
It's like he's constantly just doing an interview in his car, isn't it? Yeah. Everybody talks to this half-assed platitude.
Do you want to lift home? No.
Yeah, because if we get to play a final, obviously I've got experience at winning that. Yeah. You remember, you played well that day, well that day.
I actually, Portsmouth actually had George Thorne alone at Fratton Park. When he was very young, 18 or 19, he was excellent. He's only about 23 now. He's a good player, George Thorne. I think he's got a big future ahead of him, whether they get promoted or not.
Good. Good. Good on him. In League One, Coventry extended a very undesirable record. It now stands for 47 years.
It's an unbelievable record, just like this.
The Sky Blues have not finished sixth or higher in a league season since 1970.
There's a lad who flagged that up on the... someone emailed that in, like, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he was
annoyed.
I bet he was.
He was like, everyone stop whinging about their clubs.
I thought that's incredible, and then I realised that that's been the case for Portsmouth for 13 years. Mm.
Yeah, you were, I think you were top three.
Portsmouth won the championship in 2003.
Mm. But there you go. But Coventry, they've obviously been in the top division.
Compare those things.
But they've been in the top division for so long, and obviously eventually went down.
Oh, no, I understand how it works. I'm just saying.
No, sure.
Other teams have done not as bad as that, but have had barren times as well.
I mean, it's
basically,
a shame.
What I'm trying to say is, when it comes to teams being hard done by, I've got the monopoly on that in this room. And I don't want anyone to take it away from me.
You know that other people can hear these conversations, though.
That's not how I understand it.
To be fair, the Portsmouth card is particularly strong when playing this
Luke
game.
Wins the miserablest of the year. Get your plate.
Actually, having said that, we need to finish, for that to still be the case, Portsmouth need to finish seventh this season and still get in the playoffs.
Right.
To be the case. So they're probably going to break the duck this year, aren't they?
Oh,
God.
What a shame.
As a Chelsea fan, you obviously got a great time.
Well, the Gorgie boys aren't struggling at the moment, are they?
Certainly not, boys. Certainly not. Absolutely right. We're going to go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Don't forget the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365, coming at you on Friday.
Where Marcus denies charity money by predicting wrong results.
Sorry.
Yeah, but there's other stuff in it as well.
I hope so, wouldn't
you? It's not just that for half an hour.
It's not just that. Let's go to La Liga. There is a title race going on. Barcelona, they've arrested the slump with an 8-0 win and now a 6-0 win. But they're only top just.
They got three penalties in that game.
Suarez has got a ridiculous level of goals and assists across those two games.
Yeah, he got four in each game.
Didn't he get three goals and four assists in the first game and then four assists in the second game?
Four goals in the first game. He scored four goals twice in a row.
I sort of lose count with all that kind of stuff because, you know, like in the medals table in the Olympics, you go, America and China, the top two.
Yeah.
And it used to be Russia, now it's
Her
Majesty's GB.
I find it unedifying watching these sorts of games. I can't be arsed with it.
Yeah, I just sort of think, like, if you hear a striker scoring 25 or 30 goals in a season in another league, like, that is fantastic. And people go, well, Suarez has scored 84 yeah, in the yeah. this month alone. You know sort of go, well, of course he has. Yeah, in the yeah. same way, like Britain are winning gold medals in other countries. You think, well, America and China, well, that's yeah, what they look, do.
You know what, though? You say that, but, you know, Suarez has outscored Messi this season by some way, actually. Mm. I don't have the stats to hand, but he has. And we used to say, like, you know, Messi's getting, like, 40, 50 goals a season yeah. or whatever. If you just get another brilliant striker and another brilliant striker on top and put them together, they're not going to get like 140 goals between them, but now they actually do. So, though it's regular and it seems pointless to just bring it up all the time, it is still phenomenal.
You know, it is.
Remember everyone was talking about Xavi? Remember that?
Yeah. But obviously, I'm being flippant. Like we said, didn't we, when Messi, the records were tumbling, you know, drink it in because this might never happen again or certainly for a number of years. But you're right, Jim. People think, oh, they'll get in each other's way. Oh, they'll take goals off each other. No, they'll just score a lot more.
Out of the Champions League after the scare they got off Arsenal, and now they're just back to their daft little normal.
102 goals in the league this season so far, which is incredible. But Atleti's still on the same points as Barcelona, incredibly.
Did you see what Simeone did in that game? He got sent to the stands, if anyone missed it, because to thwart an opposition attack, he threw another ball onto the pitch.
No, it's worse than that. He basically made a ball boy do it.
What?
To look like he wouldn't get in trouble for doing it.
Oh, was it not Simeone? Because the referee asked Simeone. He went over and repeatedly asked him who threw the ball. And Simeone didn't answer. He was like, well,
I'm fairly,
get to the stand.
I'm fairly certain he got a ball boy to do it.
Wow. Stephen that did it.
Yeah, in the middle of a Malaga counter-attack.
Yeah,
but he didn't stop the counter-attack anyway because they just played on.
Yeah.
But the goal, I can't remember the name of the goal scorer now, but it was a brilliant goal.
Oh, Angel Correa, I think.
Correa, that's it. Yeah.
I saw it when I went to watch Atleti play much earlier in the season. He came on, I thought, you know, he looks that type of
exciting. He came on in that game as well.
Yeah, he's an exciting player, like an impact sub. Because often with Atleti, you know, they obviously play very, very defensively, and it works for them, of course. And when he's the type of player that often, if their players are knackered and you just need a bit of a spark to come on and score, especially if the game 0-0, he's a perfect player to come on and do that.
Griezmann missed a couple in that one.
Oh, he missed a sitter, didn't he? Yeah, but they've got their eye on both prizes, the league and obviously the Champions League.
La Liga was great this weekend.
It was.
Real Madrid came from 2-0 down.
Bale to the rescue.
Yeah.
Bailed them out.
Bebe nearly put them... Bebe played in the game, sorry,
I thought you meant Pepe. But
No. Bebe nearly put Vallecano 3-0 up.
Yeah.
I think it was Vallecano they played. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was Real Vallecano, isn't it?
Yeah, it was them.
That's right, yeah. Of course, in Serie A, Juventus, they won the league.
Doing a little dance.
Sorry?
Is it their fifth in a row? Is that a record?
They'll tell you it's their eighth. Didn't they? Something like, since the end of October, they've won something like 73 of 75 available points.
There was a time where they were basically like matching Chelsea.
Yeah, they started very, very poorly, yeah.
They have been blisteringly good this season in the league. And like I said, it was such a shame for them that they just didn't hang on against Bayern Munich, because I felt that Juventus side probably deserved to go through, but there we are.
Yeah, they deserve a European trophy.
for the dominance that they've
displayed.
I mean, the allegations of EPO abuse in the 90s and Calciopoli after that, I mean, they're misunderstood.
We've moved on. We have moved on, brother. Coupe de la Liga, or however
you're struggling there, aren't you?
I am a bit,
Coupe de la Ligue. It's the French League Cup.
It's not Liga, though, is it? Of course, that would be Spanish. PSG won it, obviously.
Move on.
Yeah, exactly. Did they play the game?
Did they bother?
Just rig it. Was it Marseille they played?
No, it was Lille.
Simulate result.
Do you want to do it or not?
Yeah.
Because we don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Or buy raffle tickets.
What do you mean you've got 500 to L1?
I suppose it makes sense.
Oh, we won.
Yeah, their third League Cup win in a row. Di Maria got the winner after Rabiot was sent off. The Lille goalkeeper, Vincent Enyama, who played in goal for many years for Nigeria, had a terribly erratic moment for Di Maria's goal.
Yeah. Really? A Nigerian goalkeeper having an erratic moment.
And we'll leave that there.
I wasn't talking about any impropriety. I was just saying that Nigerian goalkeepers are always a bit mad.
Yeah, as loath as I am to agree with you, I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, to be absolutely fair. Yeah.
Him in particular.
Yeah. Have a bag on that.
He had a proper little moment of reflection immediately afterwards, didn't he? It was really sad.
It's a shame because he's been a great goalkeeper over the years. But yeah, but PSG will face Marseille in the Coupe de France.
Can we get on to the real news from
in
France?
May. Well, hang on.
Did you foresee so?
We're just coming to that, but don't deny Stephen Fletcher.
Oh, fair enough. I apologise.
It was his assist, I think it was his assist, actually, that got Marseille the 1-0 win in their semi-final. So
it's easy to forget he's there, really, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. Marseille have had a bad season.
Yeah. Well, they signed Stephen Fletcher.
They thought that was a step forward.
I mean, we talked about it in the live show, but their fans were playing the Benny Hill theme tune music every time they touched the ball in one of their previous games recently.
Stephen Fletcher didn't notice because that's going around in his head most of the time. Really.
Yeah. To him, that's like a really uplifting
Oh, they're supporting
theme
me.
Tune. Yeah. It's like the Champions League music to him.
Yeah. We've got a Djibril Cissé update. He obviously opened a Mariah Carey gig in Paris last week. He played a DJ set to get things going.
He looks like a DJ, to be fair.
Yeah, he actually, if you see the pictures of it, he actually genuinely looks very cool, doesn't he? Like, he actually suits the role a lot.
Mm. Scored some important goals for Liverpool. Oh, yeah. Scored a, possibly not the decisive penalty, but definitely scored a penalty in the 2005 Champions League win.
After he broke his leg as well, didn't it?
And he also...
He had a really bad injury.
He had a snappy leg.
I think he had two of them.
Broke his leg twice. And
I think he scored in the FA Cup final against West Ham as well.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. He was also Lord of the Manor of Frodsham. He was, wasn't he? And he wouldn't let people fox hunt on his ground. And wasn't he also involved in something quite unsavoury recently?
Yeah. Quite possibly. Yeah. He retired last October at the age of 34 due to injury. So it's good to know that he's performing again in some sort of way.
Mm.
And really, the Mariah Carey fans are all the better for it.
Agree.
Mm.
I'm sure many of them knew who he was.
Let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I did promise you a blast from the past at the top of this show.
You did.
And I can now deliver you one, courtesy of a friend of the Ramble, Benjamin Bloom.
Oh.
Saw him recently.
The keen-eared members of the listenership will know that back in 2011, he was the author of a legendary email jingle.
Mm.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I won't sing it to you. He says, my heart of the week is David Nugent played against Ipswich and didn't score. Because he's got a record.
Yeah, he has a
record. But to be fair to Benjamin, he only played for 8 minutes.
Still.
But Nugent didn't manage to do the business. So, but thanks for getting back in touch, Benjamin. It's always nice to hear from you. Does he go by Ben or Benjamin?
I don't know. I believe Benjamin.
I'll stick with Benjamin.
Benjino.
What else
probably
have we got
not
here?
That.
Stuart McKeown. I think he must be friend of the round by now. He's always getting in touch.
He's always chipping off.
His quality of delivery on this show is much better than mine. He's on it.
And James Miller's corners.
Yeah. He says, a fellow reading the team sheet out at the City game said, and I quote, KDB is on the bench today. I call him KDB because it saves a lot of time. Does it really? You save one syllable depending on your pronunciation and you spend 14 more explaining why you did it. That's a fair point, Stuart.
Yeah, fair dude.
This is fantastic. This is from
De Bruyne deserves his full name.
Yeah, he does. This is from old friend of mine and friend of the Ramble, Mark Dunford, who says, goalkeeper Nicky Seekings was sent off after just 11 seconds in the Lancashire Sunday League Premier Division clash between Ingol Rovers and Aston Villa.
Sunday League?
Yeah. He says, please note the paragraph in the match report. Seekings, who is normally a striker, was only in goal because Aston Villa's normal number one, Joe Griffiths, a male model, was away on a shoot.
Lovely.
What has he done to get sent off after 11 seconds?
We want to know more.
Has he just immediately run up to his defender and chinned him? Have you even got time to do anything more?
It's Sunday League. I mean, you have to commit GBH to be sent off sometimes in Sunday League.
Listen, maybe he brought a gun or something.
he was on his own shoot, wasn't he?
You say you want to know more, always leave him wanting more. In other words, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Josh Matthews, I can't do my essays today. Josh Matthews got in touch as well. This is one for Pete particularly. It says, Charles Nzogbia was asked this week about his whereabouts, and he responded with this tweet. This is a Charles and Zobria tweet. Mm. I have been put into an iceberg with chains around it. They have thrown the key into the deep ocean.
That's lovely.
That is
so poetic.
Oh, yeah. Sad face with a crying tear.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, which would presumably freeze.
So if you do wonder where Charles and Zobria is, he is genuinely, apparently, in the middle of an iceberg.
Chained up.
Yeah, chained
up. Slightly unnecessarily.
And yeah.
And the key is in the deep ocean.
Charles and Zogbia dead ahead.
Daniel Hull says, following on from last week's Howard Webb celebrity spot, me and my mate see him at Rotherham away games quite a bit.
Ooh.
And if you sit near enough to him, you can hear the people around him asking if decisions were a foul or penalty.
That's great.
That must be so boring for him.
Yeah. That is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
He should wear a wig.
Yeah, you should. And finally, friend of the Ramble, another friend of the Ramble, Chris McHugh.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in touch on Twitter recently saying, in light of what we said a week or two ago, that he has gout and takes tablets for it every day.
Oh.
Nice to get a follow-up on the gout
discussion.
This
is gout fest.
We talked about that a couple of weeks
ago.
We
will not turn the football into a gout support group.
I wanted a gout update. I got one.
Okay, good.
So apparently we will.
Yeah. Yeah. Do get involved in Twitter at Football Ramble, of course, because there is some lovely goings on there.
Give us a gout shout.
Gout shout. There we go. Excellent. Jim, do we have a website roundup?
We certainly do. Now, with the season coming to a rapid and startling conclusion, awards season is upon us. Among the favourites to get the nod at the Ramble end of season party include Nivea, for their attempts to become hashtag enemies of football by smearing moisturiser on James Rodriguez's face and filming it. Claudio Ranieri for making the New Year's honours list more interesting. Gabby Agbonlahor for anything because he's not going to get a testimonial. And Kelly herself for leading the Ramble's anti-Chelsea stance to a whole new level of conflict. Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. She's rubbish in a combat situation.
There we go. Have we not got any emails, Pete?
No, we do them on the Friday, don't we?
Oh, okay, right.
Do them in the preview.
Not on the Monday.
I thought you'd be lazy.
I am, but not for that reason.
We say we do them on the Friday. How do you know? You had to turn up the last couple of weeks.
As I said, I'm covering paternity leave.
I mean,
so
we can keep
you
stuff
hit women
in house.
Oh, do you hear that?
I heard it.
Yeah, don't let him say it again.
Can I have my highlight of the week?
What did you say?
Luke hits women.
That's my highlight. Yeah.
Outrageous.
My highlight is, apart from Jim's necklace, which looks beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
I've just seen Dele Alli lash out. With a punch.
Really?
Against a footballer.
Oh, I haven't won the title, so I'm upset about it.
Eric will calm him down.
The bad Dele Alli bad lad comes out.
Ooh. Eric will give him a back rub and, you know.
Things will happen.
And it'll spur them on for the Euros, of course. There we
Beautiful.
Are. Right, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, of course. As I said, we're on Twitter, at Football Ramble. Give us a follow. Get involved. There's a lot of chat there. On Instagram as well. And then Twitter and Instagram, of course. We do little videos after the show, and you can see them there. They are not hilarious, because I'm in them. No. And they are very sexy.
I think you're being down yourself there, but I do agree with what you just said.
They might judge for yourselves. Yeah.
They might not be hilarious in the way you mean them to be.
Fair enough.
Check out the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/footballramble. Dean from 442 has obviously been busting out some absolute pearlers. I failed to upload last week's by accident, so it was a couple of days late, but it's my favourite one. Beautifully put together.
You kept it for yourself.
I kept it for myself.
You liked it so much, you thought you wouldn't upload it.
Yeah, I'm such an idiot. Anyway,
You're so beautiful, only I may have you.
My problem was my broadband in my house. So, get in touch. You know my email, pete@thefootballramble.com.
It's not the only problem you've got.
No.
And
although interestingly enough, a lot of your problems are internet based.
Yeah. speaking of YouTube as well, check out the videos we did, or rather, a guy by the name of Sam did for us in Birmingham and Newcastle. He makes us look cool.
He does,
in my opinion.
Seriously,
well.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam. I know you may think that's not.
I'm not letting Luke do because it's a sham.
Yeah, it's true, ladies and gentlemen. This man has managed to make us look reasonably.
HD.
Yeah. Reasonably presentable in these videos. So go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/footballramble, of course, and you can see the videos there. That's enough, isn't it?
That's enough.
We've given you a load.
Yeah. I think it might have been enough some time ago.
A lot of 15-second skips have just gone on.
You've got a lot of homework there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let us down. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Go.
All that glitters ain't gold.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.